Chapter 18. The Khan did not believe the evidence of his senses for a long time. He kept his dao raised, poised to strike, as it had done against the Saikh Nguyen. The spectre before him was just as they had been, translucent, glowing with faint light, flickering and broken as if filtered by a faulty hololith projector.
"What are you?"
the Khan asked warily. The Shade looked thoughtful.
"A remnant," he said slowly. "A dream of something destroyed."
He raised an insubstantial hand and held it up before an insubstantial face.
"Matter, thought, energy. We have learned that there is not much difference in the end between them all."
The Khan held his ground. Magnus's voice was the same, exactly the same, sonorous, a little mournful, rich with the accumulated cadences of 100 dialects. His baroque armor was cracked open, hanging from his frame in slivers. His cloak was ripped, and his robes were stained with old blood.
"You are not Magnus," said the Khan. "Maybe not entirely," mused the Shade. "Maybe not. But we share a soul. That is the important thing, the soul. I see yours before me, much as it ever was, impatient, burning with resentment. I did not think to see it again."
The Khan's eyes narrowed. The likeness was uncanny, almost seductively so. The way the Shade moved, the aura it projected, they were all the same. The phantasm picked its way through the dust before sitting heavily upon the shell of the great bronze oculum scope. The metal flexed beneath his weight. In some sense, then, the spectre influenced the world of matter.
"Put your sword down," said Magnus. "You couldn't hurt me with it, and I have no intention of hurting you."
The Khan lowered the point, but did not sheathe it.
"What happened here?"
Magnus smiled wearily.
"The wolves happened. Our father's vengeance sent from Fenris. They brought the sisters with them too, and Valdor. Such violence. Valdor is a machine. Russ, for all his theatricality, is little different. It happened rather quickly in the end."
The Khan felt hollow. Despite all that he had seen, to hear confirmation of it was still hard.
"I don't understand," he said. "Why did they do it?"
Magnus drew in a long breath. As he did so, the dust around him stirred.
"Don't blame them. They were doing what they were bred to do, like dogs trained on a scent. And they were right to bring me to heel, in a way. I made mistakes. You warned me of some of them, back before I went to Nykaia. You remember when we spoke on Ulanor? I should have listened then. But I never did listen well. Happier to be listened to, more's the pity."
The Khan watched Magnus carefully as he spoke. The old flamboyance had gone, replaced by a kind of grim resignation. Every so often his outline would flicker out almost completely, then restore itself weakly. The ghostly presence looked on the verge of guttering out, as if sustained by some damaged power source.
"Magnus," said the Khan, controlling his impatience badly, "tell me plainly." "You were right," said Magnus. "You were right, and that is all there is to say. I should have restrained my sons. You never made the bargains I had to, so your legion was never compromised. But here's the truth. We were all deceived. All of us. The ocean was never benign. And it was conspiring against us even as we stepped into its shallows."
The greater the soul, the greater the jeopardy. Horus was the greatest soul of them all, and so his was the furthest fall. Tell you plainly. Very well. Horus has been eaten by the warp. His body is bursting with it, corroding him, gnawing at him from the inside. There were others, Erebus, Lorgar, but it was his decision in the end. He can't hide behind them, for they were only shadows compared to him.
The Khan drew closer, never taking his eyes from Magnus's face. It was hard to follow his train of thought. The Crimson King's mind had always worked in strange, roundabout ways.
I tried to warn our father, said Magnus. That was my crime, and this is the punishment.
He looked around the dust-caked caves.
It was pride, that was all. Pride that swallowed Horus, too. You see, Jagatai, here's the problem. We were made too well. Nothing in the galaxy could stand against us. We learned that we, and only we, held the destiny of a billion worlds in our own hands. So the gods waited, and they watched, and they realized what we did not, that only the Primarchs could destroy the Primarchs. Only we could bring down the Eternal Imperium, because everything else had been annihilated. That's what Lorgar called it, the Primordial Annihilator.
He rolled his eyes.
Save me, but Lorgar can be tedious. He might grasp the deeper truths, but he's as much of a slave to his gene coding as the rest of us.
The Khan squatted down, bringing his eyes into line with Magnus's. He rested his dao tip down on the rock floor.
Russ did this? He asked.
Magnus nodded.
As completely as he does everything.
And Horus?
No, brother. No.
Magnus shook his head a little impatiently.
Do you not see yet? We are all just two sides of the same coin. Most of us have cast our lots, and only a few remain. Then the game begins. I have come to see it like this. The gods demand entertainment. They demand contest and trial. We could not be allowed to defeat our own demons, for that would be boring, and boredom is the only thing the Eternals fear. We are being lined up, one by one, to tear at one another's throats. I do not think they wish to see a victor. I think they wish us to fight forever, locked in madness until the universe's end.
Magnus smiled again at the Khan. It used to be a warmer smile. Now it was condescending, self-aware, cynical.
I see much from my new home, he said. I see how things are lining up. You're one of the last Jagatai. They don't know which way you will go. None of them do. And that's why you have the eyes of the galaxy on you at last.
Do not talk like this, said the Khan coldly. I have never taken sides.
You take them all on,
laughed Magnus.
I believe you would at that. But come, there are only two paths here. You can hunker down in what remains of our father's Imperium and try to keep the Moon Wolf from beating down the door. Or you can remember how Horus used to be and stand at his side as he brings terror to the complacent. The first would be the more loyal course, but the other has its merits.
What of you?
Magnus paused then, as if the question had only just occurred to him.
Me? What of me?
His one eye creased under a lone eyebrow.
My choices are constrained. I know more than anyone what awaits us on the other side. Do you think I welcome that? It is the ruin I worked for centuries to avoid. But our father is not the forgiving sort. My bridges are burned with him. They were burned when I broke the wards over his little project.
Magnus looked sidelong at the Khan.
He's been up to all sorts of things, our beloved father. Consorting with Xenos, resurrecting ancient technology. Don't believe that he is blameless in this, nor that old conspirator Malkador. Every choice is tainted now, and we're all dancing down the same path of decay. The only question is, which herd to follow, and which doom is less disagreeable?
No.
The Khan stood up again.
Whatever you are not Magnus. You don't even sound like him.
Magnus shrugged.
Believe what you want. Perhaps I am not Magnus. I used to be, that is certain. But maybe what counts as myself is not what it was. Part of me dwells elsewhere, on a barren rock halfway across the cosmos. Part of me is here, lingering like a stench over carrion. I can't quite leave. Not yet. I think something has to happen first. Maybe you are it. Or maybe you were never meant to be here. I favor the latter. You were always unpredictable.
I came to find a friend, said the Khan distastefully. Whatever else had happened, I thought I could come to you for counsel.
Magnus looked hurt.
Do not be harsh, Kagan. Only a part of me resides here, slinking in the shadows. The better part is elsewhere, pondering loftier things. Soon he, or I, or we, will come to a judgment.
What will that be?
I don't know. I really don't. Lorgar sends me pleas almost daily, reminding me what Russ did here. He thinks we are kindred spirits. Touching, really.
Magnus paused and stared down at his flickering hands.
Sometimes, though, I still think there might be some way back. I see it as a maze, one in which all I have to do is find the route through. Perhaps the Emperor will forgive, if he survives what I have unleashed. Perhaps he will.
Then Magnus's spectral eye flicked up at the Khan again.
But you, Jagatai, what is your choice?
The Khan shook his head.
We are who we are. No one's slaves.
Magnus laughed.
That's not good enough. You have to choose.
If what you say is true, then the dream is over. It will be each legion alone.
It doesn't work like that.
Horus is corrupted. The Emperor is a tyrant.
True enough.
Then I choose neither.
Magnus laughed again, though the sound was bitter.
This thing is like a great dark star ringed by fire. It will draw you in, bit by bit, until you are orbiting it with the rest of us. Even you do not have ships fast enough to escape it, Jagatai. Even your white scars will not get out.
The Khan felt sick from the stink of death and ashes. His blade glittered coldly in the near-perfect dark.
We can outrun anything that lives.
But they do not live. Not like we do. I do not lie, brother. Choose. We will meet again, either as allies or foes. so you may as well decide now.
The Khan stared down at Magnus, his mind in turmoil.
What have you become?
He asked, no longer able to keep the horror from his voice.
What I was always destined to be,
said Magnus, looking at him sadly.
But you still have a choice, brother. Make the right one.
The chamber, like all those that they had marched through, must once have been magnificent. Queen Zha had stopped noticing the shattered finery. After a while, it became depressing to think on it. Arvida had led them far through the empty city. As they went, the ground had shaken more frequently. Cracks opened before their eyes, shooting up the sides of already broken walls. They had passed shafts that went down a long, long way, their hearts glowing red like molten iron. Some whole districts seemed to have slumped into the earth, lost in smoke-choked sinkholes. They ended up in the ruins of a grand audience chamber. Ionic pillars soared up above them, holding aloft a half-collapsed dome. Marble bookcases lined the immense walls, though the contents had been burned away. The floor was strewn with debris, and each of the three doorways were blocked with makeshift barricades.
I can't offer you much, said the legionary dryly,
limping over to an old stone throne at the centre of the space. He sounded exhausted. Queen Zha and the others remained standing.
How long have you been here?
He asked. Arvida shook his head.
No idea.
He tapped the side of his helm.
Chrono's blown. Every day is the same. You lose track.
Queen Zha looked around the chamber. An old library, perhaps. He tried to imagine it as it had once been.
There are no others?
Queen Zha asked.
Not that I've found.
The legionary looked up at him.
I was of the Fourth Fellowship. I was a sergeant.
Your squad?
Dead.
What happened?
I asked myself the same thing.
Arvida drew in a long, filtered breath.
If you wish to know why this planet was burned, I can't tell you. I arrived after the fighting was over. That's why I'm still alive. I'd rather have fought the wolves, though. I'd rather have died and drawn some blood rather than skulk in the remains, ignorant and useless.
Avoiding those things?
The Psychnuin, aye. Or rather, what became of them. There are other things, too. Fragments, ghosts. Prospero was soaked in the ether. It's to be expected. There's an aura burning away up there. An aftershock. Sometimes I hear the voices of those who died. In the beginning, I went after them, hoping. I stopped that. They're just voices now. I don't think they're even really here.
Queen Zha regarded Arvida watchfully. The sorcerer's power was prodigious, even for one of his hexed kind, but his voice was barely more than a whisper.
When did you last eat?
Like I say, the chronos have blown. A long time.
Queen Zha gestured to one of the Keshig, who opened a compartment in his armor plate and produced a nutri-pack. He lumbered over to Arvida and offered it. The legionary took it, snapping open the receptacle under his breastplate and slotting it in. The armor's mechanisms would do the rest, feeding sustenance slowly into his bloodstream, restoring what needed to be restored. Physically, at least.
You know, we need to go back, said Queen Zha.
For your Primarch. I wouldn't worry. He could fight them. Throne, he was made to fight them.
Arvida rolled his shoulders slowly, as if feeling sensation come back into long, starved muscles.
I was trying to get there myself. There's something down there. The only source of power left. They beat me back every time.
What is it?
Arvida shrugged.
The reflecting caves are under the square. Perhaps something Magnus made still survives in the caverns. He made a lot of things, including enemies.
Quinjar checked his helm display. Contact with the fleet was still broken, but he might be able to get a data burst through.
We have ships in orbit, whole brotherhoods. If we need to break down...
He'll be back. Don't waste lives on it. Get away from this world. That's the only thing.
He looked up at Quinjar, and something about the look gave away his desperation.
And take me with you.
Quinjar checked the Voxlink again.
If I get a lock, I will call in more support, he said. But when you are restored, we are going back to the square. I will not leave him.
Arvida nodded, as if he had known what Quinjar was going to say before he said it.
Fine. Whatever you wish. Give me some time, though. I'll need it, if you want any kind of chance. I'm no pyre. It's not my discipline.
What is, then?
Arvida snorted a dry, bitter laugh.
Seeing the future, he said. That turned out well, didn't it?
Torgon marched down the Starspear's embarkation deck, over to where the Stormbirds waited on their launch rails. He was in full armour, his face hidden behind his angular helm. Hibu Khan marched beside him, similarly decked out. Behind them came warriors of their brotherhoods, hundreds of them, their boots clanking on the rough floor.
It failed, brother, said Hibu.
What do you mean?
Asked Torgon.
Your project, the Brotherhood of the Storm. Their Khan's been to see Jemulan. Hasik is not pleased.
Torgon felt a spike of irritation.
It was at his request.
Hibu chuckled, though the sound was tinny behind the vox grill.
It does not matter much. The word is out now. There are disputes on a dozen frigates. Shiban is just one of the holdouts. But there will be many more.
What did Jemulan tell him?
Who knows? Things are moving too quickly. Hasik has the Swordstorm, and I will take the Chinzar. As long as we hold the capital ships, the others will fall into line.
Torgon turned to him.
And what of the Khagan?
What do you mean?
If he doesn't see the truth of it.
Hibu snorted.
You heard the speaker's testimony. Horus and the Khagan have always seen things the same way. What could he do if his fleet is of one mind? He will recognize what we have done. He will see the justice in it.
Hibu turned to him.
You made your choice. Do not doubt it, brother. It was the right one.
Torgon knew that. He had made his choice a long time ago, years back when the first stirrings of the lodges had come to his ears. It was the chance to mould the Legion into what it should have been, a shock attack force to rival the vaunted spear tip of the Sons of Horus, only shackled to a greater, more generous mind than that of the flighty Khan. Only now, as the final stages of the long game drew to their conclusion, had his resolve cracked a little. The way Shaban had looked at him after the final session. Disappointed, even disbelieving. It should not have mattered, but somehow it did.
This is the destiny of the Legion, Hibu went on. The Khagan knows it deep down. All we are doing is helping the process along.
Ahead of them yawned the hangar's vast void entrance, glowing with marker lights and open to the starfield beyond. Warriors dispersed to their Stormbirds, breaking into squads and marching up the ramps.
You know your orders,
said Hibu, turning to Torgon before making his way to his own gunship. Torgon nodded. Before a mission, he'd always felt good, his body responding quickly to the stims and battle hormones. But it was difficult to feel the same euphoria now, no matter how hard he worked to summon it.
For the Imperium, brother,
said Torgon, making the sign of the Aquila. Hibu returned the gesture.
For the...
He broke off. Torgon's helm system suddenly fed him a relayed augur reading from the Swordstorm. Every lodge member he knew would be seeing the same thing. Watching the runes glow against his retinal feed gave him an odd sensation, a twist in the stomach like anticipation. Hibu looked at him and laughed. He clapped his gauntlet against Torgon's shoulder guard.
"Rejoice, brother,"
he said, his voice resonant with excitement.
"We have called, and he has answered."
Torgon looked at the signals, still on the edge of the system, but already moving in close. Three of them, then four. He could sense Hibu's elation, and wondered why he struggled to match it with his own.
"I see it,"
Torgon said, working to keep his voice light. He remembered the wolf moon icon, streaked with rain, a lifetime ago, and a galaxy's span away.
"He's here, then. He's here at last."
Shaban strode to the balcony, overlooking the Kaljin's main crew assembly chamber. His armor shone from the overhead lumens. The tech priests and armory servitors had restored it to perfection after Femus, and it no longer bore any of the marks of that cursed world. His glaive felt light in his hand.
"Brothers,"
he said, addressing the near 500 warriors arranged before him. They stood in their squads, each one arrayed in ivory battle plate, each one silently expectant.
"You have all heard the rumors running around the Legion. You have all heard that we are now adrift, that the Emperor has turned tyrant, that Horus is a traitor, and that all allegiances are now suspect. Some of you will have made your own minds up. You may have fought over it, or you may have kept your counsel to yourself."
Shaban scanned the ranks of warriors. As he did so, he felt a quiet surge of pride. Trigorian runes, engraved starkly upon the bone-white plate, gazed back at him, each one a masterpiece of calligraphy. Above them hung the battle standards of the Brotherhood, the lightning sigil of the Khans, the storm motif, the long lists of past engagements.
"Everything we thought we knew has been shown to be false. Brother now fights against brother. You can see through the viewports where this has taken us. Prospero is a burned wasteland, and there can be no going back from that."
Jochi stood at his shoulder, dependable as granite. Shaban was glad of his presence. Jochi had never queried anything, never questioned an order. He was the epitome of loyalty.
"There will be vengeance for this," he said, "and we will be a part of it. But until the Khagan rules, there can be no fresh hunt. All of you, when you ascended, when you gave yourself the scar that marks you, accepted this. We are not fighters ripe to murder when the whim takes us. We are legionaries. We are warriors of the Ordu of Jagatai."
The assembly chamber rang with his vox-amplified words. Polished walls of marble and jet glimmered dully, reflecting the armor within. From far below came the clunk and whine of hangar lifters, preparing the Brotherhood's speeders.
"Not all of our battle brothers feel this way," Shaban went on. "Some are seeking to preempt the Order. They have been working for a long time, fed by information from beyond the Legion, encouraged to believe the word of outsiders who have no understanding of our ways or our culture."
He remembered Torgon's enthusiasm, his trust. Not for the first time, Shaban wondered why the Terran had taken the risk of inviting him in. He must have known the likelihood of rejection. Was it arrogance? Or had he been searching somehow for confirmation?
"They may be right, brothers. They may be right when they claim that the War Master has been betrayed and now demands our fealty. They may speak the truth when they proclaim the Emperor's hand in the Holocaust on the world below us. I do not know. And that is the core of it. None of us do. Only one in this Legion has the authority to order us to war. He remains silent. And so, we must wait."
Shaban felt his pulse pick up. He was coming to the turning point.
"Time has now run out. The lodges have called the War Master, and he has answered. The fleet is already half pledged to his cause. Many others are ignorant. Knowledge is guarded by the few."
Shaban's voice remained quiet as he spoke, the soft, subtle tones he had learned as an aspirant in Coombe Carter, but he infused them with solidity. They would need to believe in him. They would need to follow him, just as they had on Chondax, on Femus, on Ulanor. And this time it would not be easy.
It is left to us, brothers. The time for arguments has passed. They have made their move, so we are compelled to make ours. We are hemmed in, and our space is diminishing. We must act. We must defy our orders to ensure that the Legion remains free.
He took a long breath. Now it came.
Brothers, Hasik Noyan Khan has control of the Swordstorm. From there he controls the Legion in the Kargan's absence. He must not be allowed to make the decision for us. That is why I have called you here. It means assuming the mantle of renegades, at least in the eyes of those who now seek to subvert us. It means taking up arms against our own brothers. You do not need me to tell you that no such rebellion has ever occurred inside the White Scars. We risk our honor, and may pay for it with our lives.
Shiban clutched the hilt of his glaive tightly.
I cannot demand this of you. We will not be fighting Xenos. These are our own people. All I can do is ask you to trust me. I have led you across the arc of the galaxy in the cause of the Great Crusade. We have brought compliance to hundreds of worlds and given honor to the name White Scar. You followed me then, brothers. You have heard what I judge to be true.
He paused for a heartbeat.
Will you follow me now?
There was no hesitation. There were no sidelong glances or mutterings of discontent. As one, the Brotherhood of the Storm raised their blades. 500 glaives, talwars, and power mauls rose into the air. With a crackle, disruptor fields snapped into blue-edged life.
Kargan!
They roared in unison, and the sound of it resounded from the high vaulted ceiling of the chamber. Shiban raised his own weapon in salute, his heart's beating hard. The moment had come. The choice had been made. There could be no going back now.
Kargan!
The warriors roared again, brandishing their weapons in ritual tribute. Shiban stood before them, his glaive angled over them, relishing their unshakable loyalty.
So there you have it, Khan,
said Jochi over the vox, sounding both impressed and wary.
You have started your war.
We did not start it,
replied Shiban grimly.
But we will make it ours yet.